For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 17 of the series.
So Paul's testimony about a promise that was made to the fathers, it is something that they hope to come. And Paul is going out, being from the tribe of Benjamin of the southern kingdom. He is being commissioned by Yeshua to go to the nations. He's actually, if you study the prophecy, he's being commissioned to go out to the 10 tribes in exile and to proclaim Yeshua and his redemptive work through his shed blood, not only to the 10 tribes, but to all nations, anyone who would listen and receive the testimony. And so in proclamation of this message, Paul says, for that hope, he is bound by this chain. Now, if you look at Paul and how he sees his calling, which Yeshua gave to him in Acts chapter 9, he's going to make a connection to Isaiah chapter 49, where in verse 6 it says, regarding the Messiah, that you would be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. And so regarding the role of the Messiah to raise up the tribes of Jacob, it goes on to say in Isaiah 49:9, that you may say to the prisoners. Now the prisoners is Jacob in exile. So Jacob, scattered in the nations of the world, is in exile or is in prison. And so there's a prophecy regarding this condition in Isaiah in chapter 42. Verse 18, it says, hear ye deaf and look ye blind that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? And then it says in verse 22, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. Then the question is asked in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his Torah. So, for breaking the covenant at Mount Sinai, Jacob was exiled in the nations of the world, and being exiled in the nations of the world, he's in a prison house because those who's taken him captive are keeping Jacob in bondage. And so when Jacob comes out of his exile, he's a prisoner that's being told to go forth. Now, this verse in Isaiah 49:9, the rabbis see as pertaining to the 10 tribes. So in the book A Matter of Return by Rabbi Raphael Eisenberg on page 132, he writes, prophesying about the future return of the exiles to their land, Isaiah states, that ye may say to the prisoners, go forth, and those who are in darkness, show yourselves. The Midrash Rabbah explains that the prisoners are the 10 tribes residing beyond the Sabbatean, that is the river by which they went over and crossed in being exiled. And those who are in darkness in the exile denotes those under a dark cloud or oppression or persecution in their exile. So now in the Torah Anthology to the 12 Prophets, Volume 1, page 190 and 191, it is explained from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 10, which says, he will roar like a lion. When he roars, the children will come trembling out of the west. The commentary is that from the west is going to refer to the time of redemption, that the book of Hosea is written to the 10 tribes in their exile, that they will return from their exile, and they will be coming, among other places, from the west. They'll be living in western nations. So Then we're going to look at the Torah anthology to the Book of the 12 Prophets, Volume 2, page 417, where we're going to see that the 10 tribes in their return will return to the land of Israel. And we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah and deliver the house of Joseph. I will bring them back. I will have mercy upon them, and they will be as though I never cast them out. So the commentary, deliver the house of Joseph, this refers to the 10 tribes. I will bring them back, that is to the land of Israel, and they will dwell there in peace and security. And so when we have the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel, when Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom are united, that the prophecy is that there will be no envy between Ephraim and Judah. And this is based upon Isaiah in chapter 11 in verse 13. So in the book, A Matter of Return by Rabbi Raphael Eisenberg on page 132, he explains, when the 10 tribes return, there will be no envy between the tribe of Judah and the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, the house of Joseph. They will wage war against their enemies, who's primarily Esau and those with him. So we learn this from the continuation of Isaiah's prophecy. The envy also of Ephraim will depart, and they that harass the adversaries of Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not envy Judah, and Judah will not vex Ephraim. So the next thing we're going to do in this teaching, given that we see that Judaism understands that the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom are not united today, that they will only be united in Messianic times through the work of the Messiah, when they return to the land that they were promised, where do the scriptures say that those designated places of return will be when they come from their exile? Number one, Jerusalem. Number two, Judea and Samaria, or the mountains of Israel. The world calls it the West Bank. Number three, Bashan and Gilead. Number four, Lebanon. Number five, the southern desert of Israel called the Negev. And number six, the area that was historically inhabited by Edom, Moab, and Ammon. So let's look at the scriptures that speak to these places. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16, this is a prophecy about the judgment upon the end time spiritual land of Babylon, the daughter of Babylon in the end of days, who I believe is the United States of America, says in Jeremiah 50 verse 16, for fear of the oppressing sword, they will turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land. Then it says in Jeremiah 51 verse 50, you that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. And so Jerusalem is a designated place of return. Next, we're going to see that the mountains of Israel, Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank, is a designated place of return. We see this from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. Them, it's talking about the two sticks, beginning in Ezekiel 37, verse 15, that's continuing through verse 22. The two sticks becoming one, and the two sticks defined as being Ephraim, the house of Joseph and his companions, that is the northern kingdom, and then the house of Judah and his companions, the southern kingdom. Now we're going to see from Micah chapter 7, verse 14, that in their return, the 10 tribes will return to Bashan and Gilead. And so it says, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock in your heritage. Let them dwell alone in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. So biblically, Bashan and Gilead is the area that is today encompasses the east side of the Jordan Valley. This would be western Jordan. That's the northern part of western Jordan that will extend into southern Syria, even encompassing the area that is called today the Golan Heights in northern Israel. The next place of return from Zechariah 10:10 is Gilead in Lebanon. The scripture says, and I will bring them back from the land of Egypt. I will gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them to the land of Gilead in Lebanon, and even so there will not be room for them. And so the reason why it says, I'm going to bring you from Egypt and Assyria is because until we have the fullness of his people not being in bondage to any people or any nation on the earth, and until we have the Messiah ruling and reigning over his people in the Messianic era, wherein his people people are not in exile, it is still seen they have not completed their journey out of Egypt. They've not completed their journey from being exiled by the Assyrians or by the Babylonians. So we have Gilead and Lebanon. Next, we're going to see from Obadiah. It's got one chapter, verse 20, that a designated place of return is southern Israel and what's called the Negev, the desert area of southern Israel. It says, in the exiled hosts of the children of Israel among the Canaanim as far as Zarephath, in the exiles of Jerusalem in Sepharad. Now, Sepharad is identified as being Spain, and in the rabbinical commentary, Zarephath is primarily France, but by extension, the interpretation is it could include France and England. And so we're talking about the exiles of Israel in England, France, and Spain are prophesied, and this would probably be the Sephardic Jews will return to the desert in southern Israel. And then finally, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, which is the east side of the Jordan Valley, the east side of the Dead Sea, and it would be western Jordan, from the north to the south of western Jordan. Daniel chapter 11, verse 41, and he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, and these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, in chief of the children of Ammon. Next, in looking at the events associated with the return of the land and the designated places of return, we're going to understand and see what are the traditional readings in Judaism of the Torah and the prophets during the Sabbath of the festival of Sukkot. And the Torah portion is Exodus 33:12 through Exodus 34:26. But we're going to make special note of the reading from the prophets, which is Ezekiel 38 verse 18 through Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 16. And then the morning service and the reading from the prophets on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be a reading from Zechariah. And so the reason why we have during Sukkot this reading from the prophets from Zechariah chapter 14, and then the Sabbath during Sukkot, we have the reading of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is Gog and Magog, is because it's seen that the nations will come against Jerusalem during the time period of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so if we look at Gog Magog coming against the land, we are told in the prophecy in Ezekiel in chapter 38 in verse 8, that specifically the invasion is against the mountains of Israel. It says, in the latter years you will come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. This is repeated in Ezekiel 39 verse 2. I will cause you to come up from the north parts and I will bring you upon the mountains of Israel. So the Gog Magog invasion is not of the whole land of Israel. It's specifically said to take place upon the mountains of Israel. And the mountains of Israel is biblically called Judea and Samaria. The world calls it the West Bank. And the mountains of Israel extends to Jerusalem. So we can see that the Gog Magog invasion upon the mountains of Israel would include the West Bank and Jerusalem. So if we look at the way that the Gog Magog coalition is judged, it parallels the way in which Pharaoh was judged in the desire of the God of Israel through Moses to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. And so in the Sanchino, an Orthodox Jewish published work, Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 144, where it says, behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail. And so if we look at Exodus in chapter 9 and verse 18, this is the verse that's being referred to here in the Midrash. And it goes on to say, such has not been in all the land of Egypt. The commentary regarding what was happening here in Exodus, that was a judgment upon Pharaoh in Egypt, the commentary is to, but such has not been, that is, it has not been in the past, but there will be in the future, in the days of the Gog-Magog war, as it says in Ezekiel in chapter 38, verse 22, an over overflowing shower, a great hailstone, fire, and brimstone. So in looking at Ezekiel 38:18, it says, Gog will come against the land of Israel. In the judgment upon the Gog-Magog coalition, Ezekiel 38:22, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood and with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. So you could make a comparison to the judgment upon Gog and Magog to the judgment that came upon Pharaoh and Egypt, as what happened to Pharaoh and Egypt is a prophecy of the judgment upon the nations of the end of days and even judgment upon Gog and Magog. So in the prophecy, Ezekiel 38:39, Gog is defeated. Ezekiel 39:21, I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen will see my judgment that I've executed in my hand that I've laid upon them. And then it says, when Gog Magog is defeated, then there's the prophecy of the end of the exile of Jacob and the inauguration of the uniting of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom and their return to the land of Israel by the Messiah. Ezekiel 39:22. So the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God. They will know that who's the Lord their God? That Yeshua is the Messiah from that day forward. From what day? From the defeat of Gog and Magog. Not only will his people know who the Lord their God is, not only will the people know that Yeshua is the Messiah, but the nations will know as well. Ezekiel 39:23, and the heathen will know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so fell they all by the sword. And so, given the principle that we've been seeing in this study, that which happens historically is prophetic, and that which happened historically allows us to understand the events associated with the greater Exodus in the end of days, we're going to see how the Gog-Magog defeat and the end of the exile was actually prophesied and foreshadowed in the Torah with the defeat of Pharaoh and his army. And we're going to see this prophetic sequence of events in the following way. Number one, that with the defeat of Gog and Magog, the Arabs will become friendly toward the exiles of Israel, and it's prophesied that they will even protect and hide the exiles of Israel. Number two, the exiles of Israel will return to their designated places, and Messiah will set up his kingdom with his people, wherein Jacob's no longer in exile. So the foreshadowing of this is the defeat of Pharaoh and his army. In Exodus, in chapter 15 and verse 4, it states the following. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast in the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. So as a result of no longer being subjugated to Pharaoh, Exodus 15 verse 11, the children of Israel rejoiced with these words, and they sang, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Well, this was spoken regarding the defeat of Pharaoh and his army, but we're going to see that it's prophetic of the defeat of Gog. Who is like you? Because with the defeat of Gog and Magog, the eyes of the nations are opened up to see that Yeshua is the Messiah when he gathers his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered to bring them back to the land of Israel. Even as Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17, verse 21, I pray that they may be one, the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, that the world would believe that you sent me. So we see then, back to Exodus 15, verse 14, the people shall hear and be afraid. Well, when the God of Israel delivered his people from Pharaoh and Egypt through the plagues that was brought upon them, there was fear among the surrounding nations of the God of Israel and his people. And so it says in Exodus 15, 14, the people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And so there's a people today, Arabs, who are living in the land of Israel, and they want to be called Palestinians because they're claiming to be the people of historical Palestine, of which the Romans named the land Palestine after the defeat of the Jews and the rebellion by the Jews against the Romans in the first century. Then verse 15, then the dukes of Edom will be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take a hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. In other words, it will break the heart and the spirit of the inhabitants of Palestina, the dukes of Edom, and the inhabitants of Canaan as a result of the defeat of the armies of Gog and Magog, of which the defeat of Pharaoh and his army was a prophetic foreshadowing of. So then in Exodus 15, it says, fear and dread will fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Thy people will pass over, and you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. So if we look at the sequence in Exodus 15, we have the defeat of Pharaoh and his army, and then we have the melting of the hearts of the people who are enemies of the nation of Israel. The inhabitants of Palestina will sorrow, the dukes of Edom will be amazed, and the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Now the people hadn't yet, when they're coming out of Egypt, have gone into the land of Canaan, but it's prophesied that they're going to hear of it, and their hearts are going to melt, and they're going to be afraid of the God of Israel and his people, who he's just delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt, who is the greatest power of their day. So then when fear and dread falls upon them, then it says, the people will pass over, Israel redeemed will pass over, and you will plant them in the mountains of your inheritance. So they literally came out of Egypt to go to the promised land, but it's a prophecy that with the defeat of Gog and Magog, that the will in the hearts of the Arab peoples who is expressing themselves through the religion of Islam, that they will recognize that the God of Israel is the one true God, and they in their hearts will come friendly toward the exiles of Israel, and with the defeat of Gog and Magog, that the God of Israel will then begin the process of bringing his people back to the land of Israel. And when he does, the Arab peoples, Moab, will be friendly toward the exiles of Israel, and they will seek to hide them in the wilderness. And it says in Isaiah 16:1, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, that's Petra, that is in modern day Jordan, to the wilderness, under the mount of the daughter of Zion. So the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Let my outcasts, that's the exiles of Israel, that's Zion. It says in Jeremiah 30, I will redeem you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, which no man goes for. And so, let my outcasts dwell with you, Moab, and in mercy shall your throne be established, and he, the Messiah, will sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. So, prior to Messiah coming and setting up his kingdom, that in Petra, in Jordan, the daughters of Moab will be hiding the outcasts of Israel. That's the exiles who will be returning back to the land. And so once the exiles return back to the land, Messiah will set his feet down upon the Mount of Olives. He will set up his kingdom. He will be king over all the earth. And so in Exodus 15, verse 18, that once Pharaoh and his army was defeated and fear came upon the inhabitants of the land of Canaan and Philistia and the dukes of Edom, then he brought his people into the land of their inheritance. And it says in Exodus 15, 18, the Lord will reign forever and ever. That's the prophetic picture. That's the principle. That's the pattern which we are to understand in the end of days, where it says in Zechariah 14, verse 9, after Zechariah 14, 1, in the day of the Lord, that they divide Jerusalem, verse 2, that the nations are judged, verse 3, that Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, verse 4, and verse 9, Yeshua will be king over all the earth, and that day there will be one Lord and his name one.
Well, that's going to conclude part 17 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.